Isaiah, chapter number 9. We're going to start tonight about a 4 or 5 week series upon one verse of Scripture. And it's a verse that many times we hear around Christmas time. And I'm glad the Bible's not divided up in seasons and holidays. I'm glad that the Word of God is for us at all times. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, verse number 6, we're going to use this verse each Sunday night. And just sort of use that as a kicking off point and finding some things in the Word of God. And want to look at this verse, verse number 6, Isaiah chapter number 9. Very familiar verse of Scripture. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now let's look at verse number 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth for even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now you can just rest assured that the zeal of the Lord will perform what we've just read tonight. That what God has given to us, it will come to pass. Now you'll notice here that of the throne of David and of his kingdom, there's never going to be an end to that throne. It's an everlasting throne. It's an everlasting time together. And God will judge with judgment and with justice. Everything God does, he does according to his word. And it's always right. And so I want us to think of I entitled the series that we're going to be dealing with these next few weeks, just simply, "His Name Shall Be Called." His name shall be called. And when we think about that, there's many, many words here that are used and tells us some things about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you'll notice here that first of all, it does not say his names, plural. It doesn't have an S on that word name. His name shall be called. And then it gives you these terms that we'll find that will show some things about our Savior. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I'm glad tonight that we have a Savior that we can categorize Him and know by His name what He is. Now, you know, a lot of folks say, "Well, I'm just as my word is as good as my bond, and my bond is as good as my word." Well, you can just rest assured that the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can rest assured that what it says He is, He is. And what the Bible gives descriptive terms about the Lord, you can rest assured that those terms are complete and they're accurate. And it will give you the direction of the life that God has in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice here in the very first portion of this verse, it says, "A child is born and a son is given." Now this statement focuses both on the humanity of Christ and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that a child is born. There's the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and was born a child. He was laid in a manger. And then we find that a son is given. Not just a child, but now he's a son, the Son of God and the Son of Man. We find that both of these, one points to a babe in Bethlehem, one points to to the Ancient of Days. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. One shows that he was impotent. A child cannot do much. But the other shows that he is omnipotent, the Almighty God. We see him, the coming of the King. A child is born. We see the claim of the King. We find that in these verses. We see the crowning of the King. Because to his kingdom there shall be no end. I'm glad, thank God, one day they're going to crown Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And there's not going to be any end to his kingdom. There's not going to be any end to his government and to the kingdom that he has. We want to focus here these next few weeks upon that second point that I just gave you, the claim of the King. And I believe in this name and these adjectives that are given to describe the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll find out that as the claim is given, that he is unerring in his decisions. Oh, he's a wonderful counselor. Now, people today go to all kind of counselors. They get in trouble.
They have difficulties of life, and they go to marriage counselors. They go to different therapies. They go to different things, and they go to all kinds. They have counselors everywhere. But I'm glad that I can go to the Almighty Counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that everything He gives me will be according to the Word of God. His decisions will be unerring. There won't be any mixture of error in that. We have a Bible tonight. And I'm glad, thank God, I can hold it up and say there's no error in this book. There's nothing wrong in this book. There may be some things, and some people try to claim that this is in opposition to what it said somewhere else. But this book, from cover to cover, is the complete, pure Word of God, and it's without any mixture of error whatsoever. This Bible that I hold is the Word of God, and the God that gave it is the God that will counsel us if we will let Him do so. He's the wonderful Counselor that will help us. He is unquestionable in His deity. He's the mighty God. If you used to turn over there to the book of Revelation, Brother Houghton just showed me this verse, and I appreciate that. My mind was really going good when he showed me that. And chapter number 1, verse number 8, he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come." And then those last two words, "the Almighty." Now, the best thing you can do if a Jehovah Witness fella comes by you, take them that verse right there. I mean, they don't like that verse because, see, they teach that Jesus Christ is just a God. They teach that He's just a man that became God. But no, we know from the Word of God that Jesus Christ was God that come in the flesh, manifest among men, and received up into glory. And we find that the Bible says here that He says, "I'm Alpha, the first. I'm Omega, the last." He said, I was the beginning, the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come." That takes care of all eternity. And so that tells us that the one that's the Alpha and the Omega is the one that's in the beginning and one that's in the end. That tells us He's the one that is the all in all. He was, He is to come. And then those last two words says, "the Almighty." I'm glad Jesus Christ is co-equal with God. He is God. And He's not just a God, He's God. God in the flesh. And He came and was born of a virgin. Here we have in these verses that we read here in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, verse number 6, we find that He comes and He was born a child and a son was given. He's unerring in His decision. He's unquestionable in His deity, and He's unending in His days. Thank God He's forever. He's the Almighty God. He's unrivaled in His domain in that He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. And one day, thank God, He's going to come and He's going to establish His own kingdom. And it's not going to be a kingdom like Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Iraq. It's not going to be a kingdom like America or like Russia. It's not going to be a kingdom that has turmoil and trouble within it, but it's going to be a kingdom that He rules with a rod of iron. And that kingdom shall never cease to exist. And so we find that through Jesus Christ, everything of life is taken care of. Now, I think I've mentioned these things before, and I wrote them down again for sake of remembrance. This verse here, let's turn first of all to the book of Psalm number 77. Psalm number 77, verse number 14. Psalm number 77, verse number 14. We had that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. The Bible says, "Thou art the God that doeth wonders." He's a wonderful Savior to me. Thou art a God that doeth wonders. Notice there. And He says, "I will meditate," in verse number 12, "also of all thy work. Thy way, O God, is the sanctuary. Who is great? Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." I'm glad tonight that we have a God that does wonderful work, and He's a wonderful Savior to me. If you're saved tonight, He's done a wonderful work in your life. If you're born again tonight, if you're a Christian, if you are really, truly born again, He is a wonderful Savior to you. We just sung that song in our songbook, "For He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin." Notice there, though, the words to that song, if I can find it again. It says, "I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me." How many of you have been rescued tonight? How many have been born again? Oh, thank God. He's a wonderful Savior tonight because He's brought us from the depths of sin and the depths of hell, and we have life through His name. He's a wonderful Savior. "I was bound by fear, but Jesus set me free." Oh, thank God we can be set free tonight because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. That takes care of the dullness of life. He does wonders in our life. He's a counselor that takes care of the decisions of life. Every decision that you have to make, every decision that you need to make, you need to go to the wonderful counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ, and find out what He would have you to do. I believe in the smallest, minute details, we ought to ask God what His will is for our life. Many, many times we think, well, just do on the large things, but we ought to ask God about the small things. Because it takes those little small things many, many times that gets us out of the will of God simply because we did not seek God's counsel in those. We say, well, should I do this? Should I do that? I believe I ought to ask God everything. And we do that, we can make sure that the decisions of our life will be right if we seek His counsel, if we seek His advice, if we seek His word, if we seek His Spirit within us to guide us and to direct us, then we will have that counsel that's needed in our life. He's the Almighty God that takes care of the demands of life. He's the Everlasting Father that takes care of the dimensions of life from eternity to eternity. He's the Prince of Peace that takes care of the abundance of life. All of those things is the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of God in our life, and as He delivers us. Isaiah here in these verses of Scripture that we just read, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah looked down through the telescope of time, of prophecy, and he saw 700 years into the future. He saw the birth of a Savior. He looked down through time, and God permitted him to write and pen in his words about this child that would be born. In Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14, it says, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us, we find in the New Testament. And so the Lord Jesus, Isaiah saw the Lord coming and tells to the very minute detail that He would be born of a virgin. Now, if you've got a version of the Bible that says young maiden there, you ought to scrap that thing. Just throw that thing away because it's not giving you the truth. Not talking about a young maiden, it's talking about a virgin that knew no man, but yet the Holy Ghost of God came upon her, overshadowed her, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger, and his name was Jesus. And anything other than that is a tampering with the Scripture and a tampering with the Word of God that brings about damnation. We must hold on to the fundamentals of the faith that Jesus was born of a virgin maiden. And Isaiah looked 700 years before he was born. God said, Isaiah, write it down. That's he's going to come. His name's going to be Emmanuel. And he's going to come different way than any other person that's ever come. He's going to come by way of a virgin. Why, medical science says that's an impossibility. Not with God. The Bible tells us there's nothing impossible with God. The Bible tells us that God can do as He pleases with those as He pleased to do with. God tells us that He uses different ways and means, but the Scripture said that the Lord shall give you a sign. What was that sign? That the real Christ, the real Messiah, would be born of a virgin maiden. And you'll notice that every account that's given to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not anything said about Joseph. He was made of a woman, the seed of a woman. And that's medically impossible, but not with our God, not with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we find that Isaiah looks down and he sees the future. He saw the crib, that a child would be born. He saw a cross, and then thank God he saw a crown. But why is he so wonderful? For he's a wonderful Savior to me. Why is he wonderful tonight? And I will very quickly just give you some things here that make Jesus Christ wonderful. First of all, he's wonderful because he has a heart to love us. Aren't you glad tonight God loves you?
Amen.
Some of y'all need to get with me tonight. Now I think you're just sitting there like you sleep or something. Amen. My goodness, aren't you glad God loves you?
Amen.
He's the Son of God and he gave himself that we might have life through his name. And he's a wonderful Savior tonight because he had a heart to love us. John chapter number 15, verse number 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm glad to be called a friend of God. And then if you read that next verse, verse number 14, the Lord says, ye are my friends. Are you a friend of God tonight? Well, I find the Old Testament that there was one friend of God that all of a sudden he was taken out of the way. And that shows us going out of here when the problems of life come. And we find that he's a friend. He has a heart to love us. And he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things that I'll be saying tonight are something that's just rehearsing in your ear. But we need to remember from whence God has brought us from and what God's done for us. And that love that God has given to us is an unmerited love. That heart that loves us. He said, a friend will lay down his life. And a man will lay down his life for a friend. Ye are my friend. And he gave us his life unmeritedly because we did not deserve it. Every one of us in here tonight, we could go down these aisles and call our name out and say when we was born, and we'd say guilty and worthy of death, worthy of going to hell. But because God loved us, he gave his son. Because the son was willing to come, and because the son said yes, and the son had that grace within his heart, and he has that heart to love us, we have the unmerited favor, the unmerited love of God, that we did not deserve it, but yet we can go because of that love. Not only was his love unmerited toward us, but his unselfish, he didn't keep anything for himself. His love was unselfish. He didn't say, well, I'll go over here just a little ways and I'll do that. No, the Bible says he always went a little farther. You can find that when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he told those disciples, he said, you stay here and pray a little while with me and I'll go a little farther. Jesus is always pictured as going a little bit farther. Jesus is always pictured as going that second mile, that going that extra mile, going that extra amount. It's an unselfish love that he gave himself to have life because he loved us so much. And unmeritedly, he said, I will. Unselfishly, he said, I will. And then thank God his love is unending. It never will cease. We that have been recipients of his grace is sufficient for every affair of life. We have received the grace of God. That unmerited love, that unmerited favor, that mercy that God gave us, that mercy that was unselfish toward us and to himself. Now it's an unending love that it lasts not only in this life, but thank God in the life to come.
Amen.
Eternity. The Bible says in the Old Testament, what God doth, he doth forever. Everything God does, he has taken it and done it forever. And I'm glad this tonight that I can sing the song and we can hear it played on the piano that I do know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Thank God he's able. His love is unending toward me. He gives to me and he loves me and he says it'll never, never end. You say, well, what if I get out of the will of God? Then you'll pay the consequences of that. No person can ever stand before God. No person can go to God and out of the will of God and say everything's well because it's not well. But his love never does change toward us. The Bible says, look if you would with me to the book of Romans. Brother Jim's already ahead of me. He said chapter 8. You're exactly right. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 28. Says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now we're talking about God's love to us. Now what about our love to him? It says everything, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now you ought to underline, you ought to circle, you ought to put a star by that little word, the. We're the called. We're not just called of God. Thank the Lord we are the called. We have been, that article, the, that little old word there separates us from everybody else. We are the called of God. His love toward us was given. The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now notice verse number 30. We see verse number 29, that word he did foreknow, those words predestinate, that scared some Baptists to death. But it's still the word of God.
Amen.
Verse number 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now I want you to carry with me, go with me, and make that trip. First of all, is the foreknowledge of God. He knew what we'd do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what we'd do with Christ. And according to that foreknowledge, he predestinated that we'd become conformed to the image of the very Son of God.
Amen.
Now there we've made one step, going a little bit farther. It says, not only that, but those he predestinated, he called. Thank God one day in time, Jesus Christ called unto me, and I became a child of God of my free choice and my free will, and I said, yes, I want to be saved.
Amen.
He called, and now notice here what it says. And whom he called, them he also justified. Thank God there's the transaction that takes place in your heart. The very moment that you say yes to God, you become a justified child of the Lord. You're justified. God sees you as just. God sees you as clean. God doesn't see the vileness. God doesn't see the wickedness. That's taken care of by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those whom He justified, what'd He do? He glorified. Now somebody give me a little English lesson here. What's that word, justify? Is that present tense or past tense? That happened now or in the past? Past. How come? Well, it's got ED on it. That's simple enough. Past tense. He justified me. When? When He called me and I trusted Him. That's in the past in my life. Now, it says here, and whom He justified in the past, He has what? Glorified. Boy, this will take care of some folks. Is that word present tense or future or past?
Past.
How many in here, raise your hand, how many of you are glorified and just like you ought to be for God? Why, ain't nobody raising your hand. Well, mine went down. Have we been glorified yet? No. But we shall be. Just as sure as God called us, just as sure as God justified us, we are just as sure as He's going to glorify us. That's the book. Take it up with the Lord. That's what God says. He says, those whom He justified, He also glorified. I wonder when He did that. I don't know. I believe it's been a long time ago.
Amen.
He glorified us in His Son. Now notice a little bit farther. And the Bible says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? My, what a victory note that is. If God's for us, and if God's going to justify me, if God's going to call me, justify me, glorify me, what's my enemies got to do with me? What victory can Satan have over me? Not any, unless I permit him to do that. Now the Bible says here, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It's not man, but it's God that justifies. We need to get this out of our mind that man has anything to do with his salvation. He has nothing whatsoever, minus nothing, plus nothing. When you add anything to God's grace, you don't have grace, you have works. And it's not by works of righteousness, but it's by the grace of God, that unmerited love. Verse number 35, who shall separate us? I don't know how I got in Romans chapter 8, because that's sure not in my notes. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What's going to separate us from God? Are these things? Paul says no. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. This is not my word. This is God's message. This is not Paul's message. God writing under the directive influence and power of the Spirit of God upon his life, the inspiration. God breathed. That's what inspiration is. God breathed this word. And the Scripture says here, shall these things, now look verse number 37, nay, in all these things. What's these things? Nakedness, sword, peril, tribulation, all those things. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that what? Loved us. Thank God tonight He loves me. He'll love you and He trusts. If we'll trust Him, He'll show His love toward us. The Bible says, verse number 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That unmerited love, that unending love, that love that was given, that unselfish love. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let the Armenians and all this other group take that and do what they will with it.
Amen.
The Word of God's true. It's real. And His love is given to me. He has a wonderful heart to love me, and therefore He's a wonderful Savior to me.
Amen.
That wasn't in my notes, but thank God it's in the book. Secondly, He has a wonderful hand to keep us from sinking. I find in the New Testament that the Apostle Peter, he walked out on the water and he began to sink, and the Lord's hand was there to grab a hold of him. And just the moment, just the time that we begin to sink, And we think there's no hope, and we think that everything's over. I'm glad to thank God His hand is there.
Amen.
He has a hand to deliver me. He has a hand to take care of me. He has a strong hand. He has a secure hand. Now, I know there's some, and I've said this before, but we need to watch what we sing. Sometimes we sing error, and it's got a good beat, and we think it's all right.
Amen.
But I believe it's just as serious, if maybe not more serious, to sing error than it is to speak error.
Amen. Amen.
Because I guarantee you will remember what somebody sings a whole lot longer than you remember what somebody says. Now, we can sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And you can hear a song on the radio, and all of a sudden those words are just there, and the tune's there. But you couldn't tell me what I said this morning. Some of you. And a melody in our heart. That's why I know, that's why it's so very serious that we be careful what kind of music we have around us.
Amen.
Because it doesn't matter what the world says, it doesn't matter what this ungodly crowd says, our music does have an influence on people.
Amen.
It'll move you to do certain things. Wonder why God says making melody in your heart. So speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why God says it? Because God knows that melody and singing moves a person's heart.
Amen.
I believe we need to be moved toward the Lord and let this worldly crowd go on and do what they want to do and stay out of it.
Amen.
We have this crowd running around, this group running around. They don't believe God. They don't trust God. They don't have any time for God. And yet our young people flock after them and follow after them like they're the Pied Piper. Sometimes y'all listen what your kids listen to. Sometimes y'all just take it down and just decipher it a little bit. That's just an old-fashioned word. Tear it apart and find out what it says. Listen to it and see what the world has to say to them. Listen to some of that old ungodly music and rock and some of the gospel. Just you better listen to it. The country and all that junk. It all has a worldly attention that moves us away from God and moves us to the world. You can deny it, but you can't prove it wrong. You can say that doesn't move me that way, then why listen to it? You can say, well, it doesn't bother my kids that way. You'd be surprised what bothers your kids.
Amen.
I wish I had some of the things up in my files down here in front of me. That's something else not in my notes. But I wish I had some of the words to some of the songs that are so very popular. And if you're really truly born again, and you hear that junk and it doesn't affect you, and it doesn't break your heart that our kids are listening to that stuff, there's something wrong with you. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, you ought to check her out sometime. You say, well, how do you know? I checked it out one time. I check it out every once in a while. Kids bring that stuff around the home and they'll pay $8 and $10 for a junky, trashy tape like that. And they wouldn't give God a dime. They'll slip around if they know mom and dad don't want them to hear it. Might and may do it, but if I find out, there's problems at home. Someone said around here at school, said, well, you can't stop all of it. No, well, I can't stop all of it, but when I find out about it, I try my best to stop it.
Amen.
We're not perfect. We don't have all the answers, but we can, at least for the glory and grace of God, we can try to hold the line to that which is right. Every kid's got their stereos and their headphones and there's car radio. I tell you, go down around the mall sometime. You can't hardly walk. The sound just about blows you out. Some of these kids pay $1,500, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 for a stereo in their car. You think, I didn't know that. Well, you go wake up a little bit. And they're bombarded with that all the time. And then we wonder why our kids don't care about God. The reason they don't is because they don't have any room up here for God. Life has been ruined and wrecked and turmoil has come. And they don't understand the feelings that they have in their heart. And they don't understand the emotions that come. And all along that's being fed by this old worldly crowd. Now, I know some of you done think this preacher done gone off his rocker and done gone crazy, but that's all right. You prove me wrong and I'll recant everything I've said. Promise, I will. We have a hand that keeps us from sinking. You know why so many people get involved in things that are not right? Because they don't have anything in here to keep them from getting involved in that. Dr. James Crumpton said he believes 75% of all church members were lost. Boy, that's high percentage. And all in his circles is independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches. Wonder how much it would be if we classed all of Christianity, quote-unquote, together. And the reason that we are so susceptible, the reason that our children are so susceptible to the things of this world is that they don't have anything in here to help them. You've got to have the Spirit of God. You've got to be saved. Some people, you look at them and they have such a hard time keeping the battle and winning the battle in their life. A lot of times it's because they fight it in their own strength. They don't have God. Oh, they know what's right. They know what they ought to do, but they just can't seem to get over that line and do it. And all of a sudden they find out, oh, I'm lost. This young man this week got saved at camp. Been a church member for years. Taught a Sunday school class. Sung in the choir. Sung in special group. And I heard his mother-in-law or somewhere real close to him. God called him to preach. And he wasn't even saved. You see, boy, we can put on the garb of righteousness. Boy, we can put on the dog. We can put on the show. But God knows what's down here. Just recently, I can't get off this subject. I may not get any farther. But just recently, I'm sure we all have heard about the songs and the group that was banned as being illegal in some of the states. You'd be surprised at what kids listen to that. You'd be shocked if you knew some of your own children might have that in their possession. When it gets quiet. I've heard kids say, that's my room, it's off limits to everybody. Not in my house. Amen. If it's in my house, then it's susceptible to my search and my seizure. Come down here to school, one year we had a locker check, and I mean, some people got all upset about that. They walk in that door, they belong to me as far as doing what they do. They belong to what I say. And I'll look in lockers if need be. I'll look in purses if need be. But to not bring that junk here in school if I know it. Amen. Now we'll shut the door before we conform to some of those things that others have done. If we're not going to be any different, if things are not going to be any different at all, then close up shop, save $100,000 a year, and let them go down there with the heathen. Had a lady talking to me, and she said, I hear people all the time get upset with Christian schools. She said, I've had my kids in both of them. And she said, I tell the folks, don't make the mistake that I did. Don't do that. Now, we don't have all the answers, but I don't want mine down there. I'd teach mine home first. So help me, I would. That's my conviction. If you don't have that, you're still my friend. I love you. But I'd teach mine home before I'd send them down there with the dogs and the hogs down there.
Amen.
I'd get me a video machine, and I'd order me some tapes from Pensacola, and I'd say, you sit down there and you take your lessons right there. I'd do it. You say, well, what if I couldn't afford it? You can't afford not to. I've known people that have told me time and time again, I've lost my children. You know why? When you throw them to the dogs. I know that there's some that can survive. I realize that. But for the most majority, most of them cannot survive it. We have a wonderful God. We have a God that loves us. His eye watches over us. The Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the whole earth. He sees what you do. He sees where you go. Teenager, young person, you may hide from mom and dad. You may not be. Nobody else may know it. But I guarantee you, God knows it. His eyes run to and fro. over the whole earth. And there's nowhere you can go that you'll hide from God. One of the writers says, "If I go to the depths of hell, thou art there. If I go to the heavens, thou art there." Jonah said, "I'll run from God and I'll go this way." But God was there. And they threw Jonah overboard, and the whale, the great fish that God had prepared, took him in. And he found out there in the belly of that fish, God was still there. You're not going to get away from God.
Amen.
You can go and do things that you know are wrong, but you're not going to get away with it. You may get away with it for a while. Mom and Dad may never find out about it, but you're not going to get away with it with God. It's an amazing thing of how many people are susceptible to the satanic influence that is in this world. And I tell you, the majority, and I believe I can say this, the majority of the music that our kids listen to is satanic influenced.
Amen. Amen.
I wonder why they got one group on trial for influencing one man to go out and kill another, young man go kill another one. Why? Because it was hidden in the music. It's there. He said, "I don't believe that." Go ahead in your unbelief. Doesn't matter. But God knows the very thoughts of men's hearts. You see, Satan, his whole endeavor is to destroy the human race.
Amen.
And he'll do it any way he can. He'll do it in the world. He'll do it in the church. He'll do it any way he can to destroy. Now, we that have been saved for years and some of this stuff hadn't been around us, it doesn't affect us. Oh, it does our children. You can't hardly even watch a cartoon anymore unless it's satanic influenced. Have some of the awfulest looking creatures I ever seen. Used to have Popeye the Sailor Man. Toot, toot. Now that was a cartoon. That's funny. I still like Popeye. Olive oil and Brutus. Don't have that kind anymore. Anymore you got soap opera cartoons. From one week to the other, you just can't hardly wait to see what happens. Folks, this world is going to hell.
Amen.
And as a child of God, we ought to be strong enough and we ought to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is so wonderful. He saved us that we have life evermore. His eyes run to and fro on the earth. He sees us. He knows us. And He can help us. His ear is there to hear us. Isaiah chapter number 59, the Bible, verse number 1 says, "His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear." I'm glad God hears the cry of His people. He hears our pleas. We say, "Oh God, we need You." God hears you when you're in that condition. He'll hear your praise and say, "Glory to God for the unmarveled, the matchless grace of the Lord." He'll hear your praise to Him. And then all of a sudden, also in your life, and you say, "I promise God I'll do this." Now He hears your promises too. He hears what you say, "I'll do this. God, if you'll bring me that out of the sick bed, I'll do this for you." You better do it. Because next time God may put you on a deathbed instead of the sick bed. Instead of being in a hospital room, you might be in a casket room. God hears our promises that we make Him. We better keep them. He's given us a wonderful book to guide us. This book here blesses the child of God. It tells us and it gives us and burns our heart. It gives us burdens and then it builds us up. The Word of the Lord. Tonight, He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. I was bound by fear. Oh, thank God He made me free. Tonight, is He a wonderful Savior to you? Is He wonderful to you? Is He your Savior? Is He the one that's first and foremost in your life? Is He really the Lord in your life? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful." Thank God tonight His name is wonderful. He's given us a spirit to comfort us, and He's given us a home to go to in the future. For He's a wonderful Savior to me. Let's stand tonight.